enjoy that very, very much. He is mine. I hope that you know that he is yours. Amen. I hope you know that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. If you win your Bibles this morning, we're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians. That's in the New Testament somewhere. Just keep looking. You may have to go to the front of your Bible to find it and look at the context, but table of contents. But we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians this morning and chapter 5. It's good to see so many visitors with us this morning and some faces we haven't seen in a long time. And one of them I hardly recognize. Got that weird mustache, but everything else is good. Have y'all noticed Brother Wiggins' mustache? Yeah. There's actually online, you can go online to michaelwigginsmustache.com. And there's a poll going to see whether or not we should name it or not. I think the staff has named it. But it looks good this morning. He'll get me back. It's okay. I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the words that comes to mind is hope. And today we live again. And I don't want to just paint a dark picture, but we know today we're living in a day that's dark. And, you know, we're living in the last days. And the Bible says that the disciples were living in the last days. But I believe we're living in the last of the last days. And we know from 1 Timothy to Titus to so many other places, Peter, so many who's talked about, Matthew talks about the end times and a describing and a description of the end times. And, well, when it describes the end times, you can see all of it coming together and that all falling into place. But I want you to know this morning that we have hope. I love the song, the hymn that says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils its lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay." Love that last verse. "When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand, what, upon the throne. On Christ a solid rock I stand, all other ground in sinking sand, all other ground in sinking sand." Isn't that true? It's all sinking sand. I just believe we need to rest in hope. He is the anchor of our hope. He's the rock upon which we stand. And it doesn't matter how dark and gloomy the world may be today, the sun's always shining above the clouds. And we can rest and we can hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to read several verses here. Let's start in verse 1. "But the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, that's talking about the day in which the Lord returns, it's talking about the rapture, so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light." Aren't you glad? "Children of the day, saved. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, because of this, because we are not in the darkness, let us not sleep, as do others. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, those who know the Lord's returning, those of us who are in the light, those of us who are confident that he's going to come back, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us, as born-again Christians, to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Wherefore, because of this, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We preached this particular text a couple of times over the last 20 or 30 years, and what a great text it is. It's a reminder of the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Reminder of that wonderful event that's going to happen one day. The imminent return of Jesus Christ. It could happen today. It could happen this very hour. It could happen this very second, where the Lord comes back in the clouds and we are called to meet him there. And what a wonderful day that'll be. And those of us who are children of the light, those of us who are not in darkness but of the light, understand and know that we do have this hope, and that we can rest in that hope. We can anchor in that hope. We can rest on that rock, that sure foundation of the Lord's return. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope. What does hope mean? It means an expectation of some good thing to come. Hope, according to Webster's Dictionary, is a sense that what is wanted will happen. Hope is to anticipate with pleasure, confident expectation of a positive outcome. And that's my favorite one. The Bible really, when it uses the word hope, again, I know I use this so much and it's silly, but I'm hoping after church to have some ice cream. It may or may not happen. Depends on whether I go by Dollar General and get some, because there's none at the house. I hope to get some. It may or may not happen. But when the Bible speaks of hope, it's not hope as in maybe this might happen. Hope in the Bible is a confident expectation. It will happen. It will happen. And I've quoted Brother Weatherby over the years, who pastored Victor Baptist Church in Weatherford for 20, 30 years. He used to say to us all the time, listen, hope means it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. The Lord will return. It's going to happen. We have faith in knowing this. We have faith. We trust in knowing this. We just wait upon the Lord, trusting him and looking forward to that great hope of his return, that blessed hope of his return. Psalm 43, verse 5, the psalmist says there, hope in God. I think about King Hezekiah when he was surrounded, when Jerusalem was surrounded by the Assyrian army. The Assyrian army had already defeated the northern kingdom. They had taken out the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom. And so the Sennacherib and those guys come down, the king of Assyria comes down to take Jerusalem. And Hezekiah goes before God. He goes in there in the temple and he goes before God in front of the altar there. And he spreads his prayers out and he prays to God. He put his hope in God and he came out of that prayer meeting with God and said, listen, we're not putting our confidence in our army. By the way, their army wasn't big enough or strong enough or good enough to defeat the Assyrian army. Not even close. They were going to get wiped out. But he said, listen, we don't trust in horses. We don't trust in shields. We don't trust in our sword. No, we're trusting in God. We're placing our hope in him because he is our only hope. Can I tell you this morning, God is our only hope. You can't put your confidence in the government. Hello? And we think sometimes that because there's an election coming up that everything will change. And listen, we can't put our hope in who's the president or who's whatever. Listen, our hope should be in God. You can't put your hope in your bank account. Hello? You can't put your hope in your mutual fund and in your 401k or 403b or XYZ, whatever you got. You can't put your hope in it because it'll go down 30% in 45 days. Hello? Sorry to get your mind off on that. But we can't put our hope in that. We put our hope in the Lord. We put our hope in him. Because it's a sure foundation. He's a solid rock. He's immovable. He can be trusted. Hezekiah said to the people of Israel, listen, we better not put our confidence in our army. Because our army is going to lose if that's what we're putting our confidence in. But if we put our confidence in God, we'll win. If you remember, old Sennacherib came down and said, listen, you better not listen to Hezekiah. We're going to come down here and we're going to take you guys out. And God came in the night and wiped their army out in the night. Wiped them out. They got up in the morning and they were all dead. That's my God. Put our hope and our confidence in him. We easily become burdened and we easily become beaten down if we're not careful. And we think the world is falling apart. I love what Brother J.C. House said here three or four years ago when he was here. He said, listen, the world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. If you are a children of light and you're not of the darkness, if you're not asleep but you're awake, that's the comparison going on in this particular chapter. If you are sober and not drunk, then you know that Christ is returning. You know that he will come. You know that the world is not falling apart, that God is simply putting everything in place for his return. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Put our hope in him, not man. Put our hope in him and not our bank account or whatever it may be. Put our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 38, verse 15, the psalmist says, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Psalm 39, verse 7 says, my hope is in thee. Psalm 71, verse 5 says, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. And we could go on and on and on with verses that indicate and tell us that our hope should be in the Lord. Our hope for salvation, our hope for rescue is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Two times in which we think about this word rescue or saved. One is at salvation. Listen, in verses 8 and 9 it says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. When I think of this verse, I think of 1 Corinthians, or I think of Galatians chapter 6, or Ephesians chapter 6. But here it's referring to, again, that hope of salvation, for God has not appointed us to wrath. I hope this morning you know you're saved. I hope this morning you've been rescued from the penalty of sin that God has placed upon our sin. That penalty, the Bible says, is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. Revelation chapter 20 says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. You see, this physical body will die one day. This physical body will be no more. It will dissolve. The Bible refers to it, or Paul refers to it, as simply a tent. This body is just here for a little while and it's gone. But then in 1 Corinthians, Paul says there in verse 5, or chapter 5, he says, but the soul and the spirit never die. Never die. Do you understand and know this morning that you will live forever? But you'll live forever in one of two places, either in heaven or in hell. And here on earth, you make the choice. As confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and when you are confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, you make the decision whether to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior or reject him. And in rejecting him, you're rejecting heaven, and understand and know that hell will be your home one day. Sin is the penalty of, or death is the penalty of sin. But I thank the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ that we've been given a gift, if you'll simply accept it. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, and there he came and lived a sinless life. Never one time having a sinful thought, never one time performing a sinful deed. He was sinless in deed and desire and disposition. And he lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years. At the end of that 33 and a half years, he went to the cross. He said himself that no man takes my life, but he laid it down. You understand, he could have called legions of angels to take him off that cross. He didn't have to die, but he willingly died. And there he gave his life in order that he might pay for my sins and your sins. The Bible says that God laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. That Jesus Christ took on the sin of the world, past sins, all the past sins of the world, all the present sins, all the future sins, he laid on him. God laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all, past, present, and future. And there on the cross, he died for all mankind. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. There he died for everyone. God is no respecter of persons. No matter your ethnicity, no matter your social standing, no matter, God loves everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, puts their trust in him, should never perish but have everlasting life. He paid for our sins on the cross. And there he shed his blood on Calvary. and died. They put him in a tomb. They put him in a grave. But the grave could not hold him. Up from the grave he arose. Amen. On the third day he rose from the dead, having paid for our sins in full. Having paid for our sins. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Through him we have salvation. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, rescued. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved this morning? Jesus took the wrath of God for us on the cross. He was our substitute. He died in our place in order that sin might be paid for, in order that you and I might have eternal life. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ. He is our only hope. Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We are saved by being placed in Christ. I think of Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says that the earth became very sinful. In fact, it's so sinful, the Bible says there in Genesis 6, that man's thoughts were evil only continually. And most of you know the story, or at least know part of the story of Noah and the ark and the animals going on the ark. And so God looked down upon man. He saw that man's thoughts were evil only continually. And he said, I will destroy man off the face of the earth. But I love that verse. I think it's verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace. And God spared Noah and his family 8 souls. And Noah was to build an ark. God commanded Noah to build an ark. He built this big boat. And when the time was appointed, God told them to come into the ark. And Noah's family came into the ark, and God shut the door. And 7 days later, God sent rain upon the earth. It had never rained before. Before the flood, the water underneath the earth watered the earth. And here came the rain. And what a storm it was. And God destroyed mankind off the face of the earth. Why? Because of their sin. That water was God's wrath upon sin. That water was the judgment of God, the penalty of God upon the sin of mankind. And God took out mankind, except for Noah and his family. And they were safe from God's wrath. They were safe from the penalty and the judgment of sin because they were in the ark. They were inside the ark. And what a picture. I'm so thankful that one day at the age of 6 years old, I accepted Christ as my Savior, and he rescued me. And I was placed in Christ. And because I am in Christ, having accepted him as my Savior, I am now a child of God. But I escape God's wrath, God's judgment upon sin. The floodwaters of God's wrath, because I am in Christ. This morning, are you in the ark? Are you in Jesus Christ? Have you been saved? I hope so. And those of us who have and know for sure, we put our hope and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice on Calvary. We can be confident and know, not maybe, not hope so, but know that one day we'll go to heaven. That one day we'll see him again. We'll see Jesus Christ. And then, not only are we saved in that respect, but we're also saved from the wrath to come. The context of this particular chapter is talking about the day of the Lord. It's talking about the rapture. If the context is really here talking about the end times. It contrasts day and darkness. It contrasts sober and drunkenness. It contrasts saved and lost. And what it's saying is we need to be ready for the day of the Lord. We need to be ready for the day the Lord will return. Because once he returns, there is going to come a time of wrath. There will come a time of judgment here on earth. It's called the Great Tribulation. And here it's saying, listen, if you want to escape the wrath of God upon sin, if you want to escape God's judgment and penalty of sin upon the earth physically, you need to be alert. You need to be sober. You need to remember and keep the lights on, because he's soon to return. The next prophetical event to happen is the rapture. The Bible says we'll be caught up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says we'll be caught up to be with him in the air. Look there with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 13. You should be right there. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Don't sorrow as those who have no hope, those who have not trusted in Christ, those who have not been rescued. Verse 14, for if we believe, trust, that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Isn't that interesting? It's interesting if you compare this with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know that one day Jesus is returning, and he's going to return with his saints and for his saints. It's going to be a great day. And so he'll return in the clouds, and the trumpet will sound. Let's look at this. Let's keep reading. I'm getting distracted. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, verse 15, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, those who've already died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Notice how it describes that. The dead what? In Christ, in the ark, in Christ. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then Paul says, comfort one another with these words. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who have been saved, those who have been rescued, those who put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their only means of salvation, that when Jesus returns and the trumpet sounds, watch the way, the trumpet will be the voice of God. Maybe it'll sound something like, come up hither, or whatever. It's going to be the trumpet of God. It's going to be that same voice the children of Israel heard from Mount Sinai that came out of the burning bush. That voice, the voice of Jesus Christ, come up hither, and the shout will happen, and the dead in Christ, those who already died, those who are in the grave, who've accepted Christ as Savior, they'll rise first. Then we which are alive, if it happens today, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And 1 Corinthians 15 says, and we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. If I'm still alive when Jesus returns, this body will change as it is raptured up, and I'll receive a new body. A glorified body. A body that no longer hurts. If I had everybody here raise their hands who hurt this morning, here you go. I'll testify. Somebody decided to race somebody yesterday in the rodeo arena. I was trying to push him down so I wouldn't have to race him. And anyway, it hurt. But those who are alive and remain will be caught up and will be changed in a moment of a twinkle of an eye. What a great hope we have. What a great hope we have. Hope is in the Lord. Could be today. It says here, come as a thief in the night. It's coming at an unknown time. If you ever see someone set a date, just rest assured that that's not Bible. We get it all the time. You know, he's coming in 1988. It didn't happen. The Bible says we don't know the day nor the hour, but he is coming. It'll come as a thief in the night. Hope in God. Hope in God. Oh, man, verse 10 is awesome, isn't it? Verse 10, chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. But obtain salvation by the way of the Lord who died for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look there, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us, what? To wrath. Now, the context of that verse is why we as Baptist are pre-trib. The context of that verse is that we, those that are saved, those who are children of the light, those who have accepted Christ as Savior, will not face the tribulation. That's the context of the verse. I don't care what theologian or what scholar, I mean, it's very simple. The chapter is talking about the day of the Lord. And you as a Christian will not face the tribulation. We'll be caught up before that happens. We will not face the time of Jacob's trouble. We'll not face the bowls and the vials and all the things that are going to happen during the tribulation. We will not face the time in which the days will be longer and it'll be so hot that people will die. We won't face the time in which one-third of the earth will die. We won't be there. We won't be here. You know where I'm going to be? at the marriage supper of the Lamb, eating roast and mashed potatoes. I don't know what kind of food there is. We know there's fruit in heaven. Those trees that line the there in the throne room of God. But we'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're not appointed unto wrath. Amen? Don't everybody let somebody. There are so many popular beliefs now, you know, pre-trib, pre-wrath trib, pre-millennial. There's pre-millennials, correct, but post-trib, mid-trib, post-wrath. In fact, there's so many of them now. Just believe the Bible. It says we're not going to face the wrath of God. We're not going to face the tribulation. Amen? Amen. Hope in God. Put your confidence in Him. Confident expectation. It's just a matter of time. Listen this morning. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Are you safe in Christ? Have you been placed in the ark? Safe from the judgment of sin? I hope there's been a day in which you can look back and know that you have accepted Christ as your Savior. If not, we'd love to show you from the Bible. We're going to have a verse of invitation. We're going to sing a song here in a moment. There'll be counselors here who can show you from the Bible how you can have your sins forgiven, how you can escape hell and have a home in heaven by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Christian, this morning, we are not appointed to wrath. He is coming again. We will escape the tribulation. We will not be here. The day of the Lord is coming, and we'll be caught up to be with Him in the air. Verse 11 says we ought to comfort each other with it. Comfort and edify one another with the words, and that is the word of hope. Noah was given a promise, and I'll end with this. Turn to Genesis chapter 8. After Noah and the flood, he was given a promise. Noah chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. Verse 20. After the flood, they were on that boat for over a year before they came out. So it rained 40 days and 40 nights. The actual waters, the waters continued to flow and continued to rise for 150 days. And they landed there on Mount Ararat, and there they didn't come out till over a year passed. And here's what God said to Noah. Genesis 8, verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. He said, this will never happen again. Look at verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. What a wonderful promise to Noah. By the way, what a wonderful promise to us. These environmentalist people and all the global warming stuff going on. Here's a great promise that you can hold on to, Christian. What does he say here? It says that summer, winter, springtime, and harvest will be here and be in place when the Lord returns. I just believe the Bible. I'll put my confidence here a lot more than I put my confidence in those politicians and their scientists. Right here. Not saying we shouldn't take care of our environment. Not saying we shouldn't, you know, we've learned a lot in the last 30 or 40 years of things we shouldn't do. And we ought to be careful. But at the same time, don't let them scare you. Don't give in to that fear. It's a bunch of nonsense. Summer, winter, springtime, and harvest will be here when Christ returns. That promise was given to Noah, and that promise is given to us today. I love it. And God said, look at chapter 9, Genesis 9, and I'm done. Verse 12. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generation. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, my promise, that which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." God said to Noah, listen, as a promise, as a reminder of my covenant with you, every time it rains, you'll see the rainbow. The rainbow is the establishment of a covenant between God and man, that God will not destroy the earth again. Amen. By the way, what is a rainbow? A rainbow is a bow without an arrow in it. There is no more wrath. God will not pour out his wrath, physically speaking, upon the earth. He will never destroy the earth again. That rainbow is the promise. Every time you see a rainbow, you need to remember that's the promise of God, that God will not destroy the earth again. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. By the way, that promise is for you too and for me. We can place our confidence in it, knowing that one day, again, Jesus Christ will return for his own. Let's all stand. Hymn 162, "Lord, I'm coming home." We can take comfort in knowing that we are not appointed to wrath. Christian, this morning, I'm looking forward to the rapture, aren't you? The Bible says it's our blessed hope, the hope of his return. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. We'd love to show you from the Bible how you can have your sins forgiven, how you can have a home in heaven. Maybe you're watching this morning. We'd love to show you and help you any way that we can as far as, again, salvation goes. Put your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless this time. We pray that you would, again, encourage us and comfort us and strengthen us by placing our hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen.